The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7. Today is the 26th of October, 2016. And before we get in, don't forget about the book, Becoming a Barbarian by Jack Donovan. I'm not getting a cent. We are trying to get Jack on the show. Guys out there, girls too, you heard Dr. Wong and I on a couple weeks ago almost now. That was one of the things we talked about, which was a big part of the show, because the show is out there now. The first half was systemic enzymes, which he is the ultimate authority on. And then we talked about submission. And you and I out there who have listened to Dr. Wong and myself know exactly what he and I are like. It was probably it was the most aggressive show he and I have ever done together. They're all like that, but it was really, really right to the core of a lot of things. And Becoming a Barbarian was one of the books that Dr. Wong said to go out and get and memorize it, basically. So check that out. Also, too, go out to motivationmuscle.com, download the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle, the 30-day program, strength times power equals success in the winner's circle, all of them are free right now. All we need is your email address and away you go. If you need any help with anything, FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.R.com. I'm always willing to help anybody out. Also, too, go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. Go out and look at the information we've got out there. There's nobody with that type of content anywhere that I know of, and it's free, too. Most people are charging for that, and we're in the process of doing some other really great things with the show. I'm going to find out a little bit where we are today and if it's going to be completed by the end of this year. We're very, very busy with doing a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff that really take the time up. Also, too, I'm just trying to think. Is there anything else I want to add to that? Well, all I can say is you know where to go, motivationmuscle.com. And you can get everything. There's tons of material out there. Well, today is another day. We've had three introductions this week. This will be our third. And you know my feeling on this. We have Jeff Zambello on with us. And I'm going to give you a little information about this gentleman. He's a kettlebell athlete and competitor, a strength athlete, and he's a chief financial officer. And we're going to do the show I love to do. It's called Introducing. And basically, we're going to talk a little bit about where Jeff started from, the middle point of his training, and where he is now, and maybe down the road we see what he wants to do a little bit there. So, Jeff, welcome to Motivation Muscle, sir.
Thank you, Eric. Thank you for having me on here.
You're welcome. Anything I missed, websites, stuff you got coming up, give everybody a little bit about you more if I haven't hit it, and let's get into today's show, please.
Yes. One of the things that I do, or I've done since 1989, is I compete in drug-free powerlifting, unequipped. And every year, the past 5 years, I've gone to Idaho Falls in September and competed down there at world championships. I've set four world records. I always beat a Russian. I love the Russian powerlifters. The Russian powerlifters can kick my ass and bench press and squat, but I can kick their ass in the deadlift. And I love the deadlift. I love the squat. I'm average bench presser.
Yep.
That's another thing. And I'm a father of Mikey, who he's got a big following on my Facebook page here. He travels with me. He's 16 years old. He was born with Down syndrome. He competes in powerlifting with me. Just the deadlift. I don't want him walking backwards on a squat yet. He competes in the kettlebell snatch event. And it was funny. He was supposed to just compete in the 5-minute kettlebell snatch event. Last weekend, we competed in Halifax, Nova Scotia at Orange Kettlebell. And So the other person on the other platform was in a 10-minute set. He didn't stop at 5 minutes. So the judge looks at me at 5 minutes and says, he's still going. So I said, okay, well, don't worry about it. So I said, you know, you can go sit down in the audience. So she did, the judge. Mikey kept going for the 10-minute set. And it's just a beautiful thing. And then we went to Connecticut for American Kettlebell Alliance. And that was an awesome event. I love American Kettlebell Alliance. And he did a 10-minute set for the first time on the, an official 10-minute set for the first time on the platform. He did 177 reps. And he uses an 8kg bell right now,
yep.
Which is something that most beginning, the men aren't allowed to use it. So the beginning woman get to use it. I think the senior ladies get to use it at Worlds for safety purposes. Now he's going to move up to 10kg. And the funny thing about Mikey is he smiles. He smiles the whole 5 and 10 minute set.
Yep.
Everybody else is up there. Like,
struggling.
Struggling, there you go. So that's the beauty of it. And it's such a joy. And I'll tell you, I'll leave that for another show on how it was being a parent of a special needs child. But that's for another show. But
sure.
We got a lot of plans for him. He's going to have a great and fulfilling life far beyond many others just because of sport and the family that he's connected to. And I just can't say enough about these rough and tough guys and these beautiful ladies who get up on the platform, whether it's powerlifting or kettlebell sport, and they embrace him.
Yeah.
The bigger the tough guy,
yeah.
The bigger the hug Mikey
yep.
gets.
Yep.
So
yep.
That's all I can say.
Well, I am aware of Mikey, obviously, and we will get into another show of that. But let's talk a little bit about you. Number one, this is always the big thing we hit upon. As a younger kid, you know, we always talk about cartoon heroes or somebody. You know, I've repeated this a million times. The Incredible Hulk and my brother Jimmy, who had muscular dystrophy and passed away from it, are my two biggest influences on my life. What as a young man, young kid, what kind of got you started in the strength? Was it a cartoon, a mother, father, uncle, aunt, friend? What drove you a little bit to get you started with the weights?
Well, when I was 14 years old, my father and I went to watch the Boston Marathon, and I said to my father, I'm going to run that next year. So I ran it at 15 years old in 1980. I was born in 65. And I would train outside no matter what the weather was. I'd be doing 14-mile runs, 9-mile runs, because we had double sessions at school because the school system was outgrown because all the baby boomers are having kids.
Yep.
And, so I used to go to school at maybe 12 or 1 in the afternoon, and so I'd have the whole morning to train. So, and I'd train at night. And so say the snow was sleeting.
Yep.
And I'm getting to my hero. And it's an unusual hero, but not in the day. So this is back in 1979, 1980. Anyways, so the snow become my eyes. I'd be tired. And you know how Bruce Jenner in the 1500, the last event of the 1976 decathlon in Montreal?
Yeah. Yep.
He raised the flag, the American flag, when yep. he was just about ready to cross the finish line. He knew that he set the world record. He didn't win just the decathlon. He set the world record. He was my hero.
Yep.
Let's not ponder what we just did, but, that was my hero for a long time. And then many other long-distance runners, and how I got involved with them was, for Christmas I got weight set. Everybody was talking about the cement weights and the plastic weights and stuff like that. So that was it. And I just found out that I was, pretty strong, especially pressing weights overhead. And then my father and I did a lot. My father was a class athlete in high school, so I always try to keep up with him. And great father. And I'd swim across lakes I just love outdoor activities.
Yeah.
And that's why I like hearing your show the other day about training outdoors and this and that. And I love all your shows. It seems like we're all connected. Whether you're from Ireland, whether they're from Norway,
yep.
All these athletes, Scotland, and the stone lifter who flips tires for 2 hours at a time. I love that.
Yeah. Martin Janzik is his name, and he's an incredible individual. We're trying to do something. Bill Crawford, that was like one of the main guys between Steve Jeck, who started all the Husafell stuff, and we are in the works of getting Steve back here too. He's just had some life changes with moving and things of that nature. I would like to, if we can get time-wise together, I'd love to get Martin, Bill, and I on a three-way show. And that would be a very interesting show. Martin is the kind of guy, let me tell you, he's an incredible human being and an athlete. And the funny stuff, we were talking about it yesterday, as a matter of fact, on the show. I mean, there's a guy that's so dedicated to flipping tires, and his belief system is how much it will do to you as a stone lifter. He'll put his car up on a hill. He'll be out flipping it with the lights on in the dark. He'll go back to his car, and the battery's dead. To me, that is dedication, you know, and he and his wife just had a little baby girl, and I couldn't be happier for him because he is by far one of the most genuine people I've ever met on the show. He is an incredible guy, and we talk offline a lot too. So, no, you're right on the money. The Clint Darden was on here yesterday. Go ahead.
Going back to the running and the transition to weightlifting,
yeah.
I never wanted to be skinny, so I was on my high school cross-country team.
Yep.
And I didn't like the skinny look. I wanted to look like the football players. So
yep.
I always lifted weights. So I always had a disadvantage because I was, okay, so ninth grade, I was 135. Then you moved to 145 pounds the next year, then 155. So I'm much heavier than these other guys, but I like that look. I want to look like a man, and I want to say something. And I say this to people, you know, where I live in Eastern Canada, and they can't seem to understand it. I'm very prejudiced. Very biased towards how a man should look.
Yep.
Man should look like a man.
Yep.
And, the thing I love about woman is that I don't like the Christie Brinkley, blonde-haired California supermodel girl. I don't like skinny girls.
Yep.
I like an average girl, right, who's got a beautiful personality, who puts a little bit of fingernail polish, a little lipstick, gets her hair done.
Yep.
That, to me, is a beautiful woman. But a man should look like a man.
Yep.
Talk like a man. Hold his shoulders like a man. And you're right. Not surrender to political correctness.
Right.
From the elitist. And believe me, my friend, I was in with the elites, and I beat the shit out of them academically. With a 3.886 GPA at Boston University for my first master's degree, then I got a second master's degree, so I can make more money than them and
yep.
be their goddamn boss someday.
Yep. What do you think right now? I mean, obviously you've been around this field for a long time. You've met a lot of people and everything. We get into this an awful lot because I train a lot of younger kids for football and basketball. And I had a good friend of ours on, Ned Norton, on last night, he's the head of the Warriors on Wheels chapter here. And we go back a long way from the old days of training at different gyms together. And one of the things we talked about are a lot of the young kids, how, you know, people seem to be down on him, but at times for good reason, because he's found, and I found this a lot, is the first little bit of controversy, the first little bit of adversity, they quit. And you know, I had a brother, obviously, you have a son that has other needs than what you and I have, and they require people to become very involved in their lives, which you should with your kid anyways. But I pose this to Ned, and I'll pose this to you, because I know from Jimmy how I feel. Ned works with people that are all wheelchair bound pretty much. I mean, they've had major things happen to them. They're never going to walk again. But yet they come in there with this fire mentally that's unstoppable. You would never know that anything ever happened to them. Same way with Jimmy. I'm sure I'm going to let you answer about Mikey here. What is it with these men, women, kids, What is it within them, with all the things they are facing, why do they thrive so well in sports? What do you think it is that they have in them?
You know what they what they don't have that is necessary to us? They do not have an ego. And I say this because I wrote this on to one of my new friends on Facebook. He's been teaching special needs for 41 years. And so anyways, I said, and he wants to go to Special Olympics and the different sports that we do. And I said, they don't have an ego. They don't have, well, at least for my son, cognitive thinking. They're pure. And they just want to be part of it. And they think only in the moment. They don't, like you said, Eric, don't stop listening to that goddamn negative news.
Right.
That poisons us. And also, what they have appreciation for life.
Yep.
And every night when I tuck my son in, I watch him go to sleep. I kneel beside his bed.
Yep.
I look at his hands, the hands that, I'm not trying to get religious here, the hands that God made.
Yep.
I kiss the top of his head. I smell his hair.
Yep.
I said, he's the most beautiful and perfect thing I've ever seen. And he's the most pure heart. And that's why people gravitate towards him.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
That's what they live for. Because whether you're wheelchair bound, whether you're a returning veteran from the wars, those are real tough guys. Those are real heroes.
Yep.
Not these guys who walk around the malls with the tattoos and try to scare old people. So they have an appreciation for what they got.
Yep.
And we got that too, but we get so much drive that when we work with these special athletes or Paralympic athletes, it kind of humbles us in a good way, and then we get stronger through them.
But look, I've seen enough. I see with kids, you train them, or the thing is this. Yes, the ones that we have in our families that have needs, that I've lost all these things, I've taken more from them than most people I've ever met, who were sound physically and mentally, quote unquote. But what I see now is this trend, and it's been a trend that's been going on a long time, where let's do the minimum we have to do to get to where we got to get. On the first sign of any type of adversity, most quit. They won't stand up to it. And thirdly, the parents are worse than the kids usually, and they're pushing these kids to a point where one or two things are going to happen to them. Somehow they are going to make it, but they're going to be very fragmented all over the place. And by that I mean mentally and physically. Secondly, if they don't make it because of a severe injury, it could be surgery, but the worst thing you can do to anybody, in my opinion, and this happens way too much, whether it's the parents over pushing the kids or you got a trainer that's basically worthless, is you do mental damage to these kids that they can't recover from usually. And I'll send it right to you. At 15 years old, even younger, they can be finished mentally as an individual.
That's right.
And go ahead.
That's what happened. For me, in my younger days, I had a lot of problems, which I won't get into. And because of the people trying to break me down. And so what really got me into weightlifting was when I went to the gym. And the big guys that were in the late 20s, 30s. These are the power lifters on the other side of the gym.
Yep.
And then I walked over and I said, I was trying to look good for the girls back then. You know how that is in the 80s.
Sure.
And you're younger than me, but all these other guys will know what I'm talking about. And anyways, so I said, do you mind if I train with you? And they're the guys. They're the heroes. That they were the quiet ones, except when they were grunting and throwing the weights down. And they didn't have to act like tough guys.
Right.
Confidence, like what you were talking about with Rick Brown and,
yep.
and Dr. Wong and others in past shows. And, I forget where I'm going with this. But anyways, I owe my life to weightlifting for where I am today. I tried other sports. I said, oh, let me do long distance swimming. That'll help me with my abs. You know, veins. It never got veins out of me. It made me weaker in my weightlifting. Then I did a long distance cycling. I spent like $12,000 on a bicycle.
Yep.
I get the best. And anyways, with all the Campagnolo Italian parts and the carbonite frame, everything, that got me smaller. That was good. You know, the marathon running, the whole shebang. But at the end of the day, you got to make decisions.
Yep.
And again, with your business, you're going to make good decisions. What do I really want? And even like when I tell my boss is here, I get other, you know, because of my level, and because I work for PricewaterhouseCoopers, that's the number one accounting firm in the world. I work in the U.S., in California, and in Canada for them, in taxation, U.S. and Canadian. And I get recruited all the time from other people. And I work for Grant Thornton as well. And what happens is I can make decisions. Oh, yeah, we want to pay you more money. You know what? I love it here. I've been here. This is what I'm trying to get to with the decision making. What do I really want? By having this job here and coming to Canada, I've become a whole different person. I've met people like you. I've got a great coach, Valerie Prolonsky, who's in Kazakhstan right now.
Yep.
World championships for kettlebell sport. All the elite powerlifters in North America. I see them every year. We're brothers. We're in a fraternity.
Yep.
We stay up at 3 a.m. every night talking. When we go out to supper, we don't even want the spouses or the girlfriends coming. If you're a female powerlifter, please come with us. The females are just as bad as us. But all we talk about is weightlifting, training, our injuries, how we overcame the injuries there.
Yep.
And these are the scars. This making mistakes in life helps us with that decision making. Making mistakes in life is better than going to MIT or Harvard University. That's book learning. Getting on the platform when you're an MMA fighter, even if you lose the fight in MMA, don't you always see, or at least 99% of the time, the MMA fighters come over to hug each other?
Absolutely.
Because they know what they did to get there. Nobody's walked in my shoes except very few in this world. Okay?
Yeah.
I start at friggin' 11 o'clock every goddamn night. And I was getting my first master's degree, right? I had no money. But I couldn't even go out on dates because in Boston, girls like guys with money.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Anyways, I loved weightlifting so much back then. You know what, Eric? I didn't lift a goddamn weight for the 2 years I was doing my master's degree.
Yep.
Not because I had to work full time. I wanted to be the best. I loved weightlifting so much, I didn't do it because I wanted to get the top grades, get the top job, so and the best resume, so I could forever and ever do what I wanted to do when I was 17 years old.
Yep.
And what I tell everybody is, now before the show started, I said, Eric, can I show you on Skype what my diplomas look like on my wall? I have an undergraduate degree and 2 master's degrees, and I got a Canadian Powerlifting Federation national record holder diploma from that, right?
Yep.
Now, all those diplomas are yellowing with age.
Yep.
You know what? There's weightlifting with you. Here's my famous saying, okay? Weightlifting was here long before those diplomas came.
Yep.
You know what?
Yep.
When those diplomas tear apart through age or turn it to toilet paper, weightlifting is going to be here long after. And like I also told you, I'll be the 85-year-old guy in the nursing home chasing the nurses down the hallway in my adult diaper with a boner.
Yep. That's the way to live, because this is why it's so imperative we try to, well, we don't do any trying here. We do it. We want to get as many people into our family as we possibly can, and this is no bull. Nobody out there talks like this. You know, most people, it becomes a trade form, and then it becomes just money, and that's it. We're never going to lose that direction, because that direction is my personality, my belief. We could be billionaires here. This show is still going to be the same. It'll be better. It'll improve all the time. The guests will become bigger and bigger. The opportunities for people on associated with the show or the listening family, there will be things here that will help you not only in your lifting life but your personal life, because lifting in the gym wherever you do it, outside, et cetera, et cetera. I say this till the day I go off the air. There is no difference between the guy or gal that walks out of the gym, is back out in the private world. All right, they're not dressed to train. They're not toting around weights or stones. I got it. But there's no separation mentally, physically, or spiritually from that gym when you're out of there. Most people cannot gravitate to understand what I'm saying this. It'd be almost like, well, I use both arms, but because I'm not going to use one arm today, I'm going to sever it. Nobody would do that in their right mind. So how do you sever mentally and physically and spiritually from something, say, you touched 10 hours ago? You don't. It's like I said yesterday with Clint Darden, and I did a show yesterday. Yep. I can't wait to get it
I'm
up.
Thinking of life, what they've done with their lives.
Well, not yeah.
And everything.
Yeah, but you got to remember this. We got into a thing with Stones yesterday. Yep. Clint has cancer. He has been dealing with chemo and all kinds of stuff for years now. And the guy, you talk about inspiring me. I'm not going to go into personal things on the air that he's told me. This guy is absolutely amazing. He's going to go for his record Atlas Stone again of 360 pounds very shortly. He is the epitome of never giving up and never giving in. And he and I got into a show yesterday because Bill Crawford started this with me in 2008 in Iceland, that the Stones talk to you. And I was like, what is he talking about? So we go over there, and now I'm starting to understand it. And now, among many things we talked about yesterday, we talked about the Stones talking to you. Now, they do. They are not objects that are dead. They're like your plates, your steel. They all resonate. They have everything around you resonates. It has a vibration.
Yep.
I've said outside.
Vibration, you get the hell rid of it.
Well, here's the bottom line. Clint Stones talked to him when he's in and out of his driveway, whether he's going out in the car or not. He told me, and you'll hear this, he goes up and basically rubs every stone and talks to it, and he says he gets feedback. That's no bull, because I'm telling you right now, you go to lift something heavy like a stone that doesn't want to be lifted, that's defiant, you better damn well be listening, because turning something 45 degrees can make all the change from getting it off the ground and carrying it to not being able to move it. So weightlifting for me, in my context of things, among many things besides having the luck of having such a good family and still do, which were the basis of everything, it was the weightlifting that formed my personality more and more. Everybody knows I lost an $80,000 a year job. I'm living on a shoestring, literally, making this beast go and doing every possible thing I can to make my bills every month, okay? I won't relent to this. And if it wasn't for the discipline of weightlifting, and obviously my DNA works like this. I like being pushed. I like the idea. I like struggle. I like the ability to fail and keep coming back.
That's right.
And this is what... I can't get this clear to people, and I hope at some point we have the masses of people listening to this. I'm going to tell everybody, I've said this again and again and again. If you listen and you learn weightlifting, and whether you listen to our show or read books or all this stuff out there, it's great. It will help you beyond no end. But here is what I've said to everybody. If you got the guts, everybody, and I'm putting it out to you, you need to learn how to train alone. You need to learn how to train in safety, but you need to find out who you are and what you're made of, because if you don't do that, you might do well. You might go in meets and this, that, and the other thing, but you know what? I feel that you are never going to know what your true capabilities are. Go ahead, Jeff, take it.
I like that guy that you had on. I forget most people's names. I'm sorry, because I got so much numbers I'm dealing with every day, and I'm multitasking all day long.
Yep.
But you had a guy that, on the training outdoors show, and he was a personal trainer, and then when clients would leave him, they'd make up excuses.
Oh, yeah.
On why they wouldn't continue. And so one thing that I've gained, the most important thing I've gained through the weightlifting, is that I get a ton of work. I got a lot of deadlines. I got a lot of people outside the business, where, you know, a financial partner, owner companies, etc., that they rely on my deadlines in my top performance of work. I can't do shoddy work.
Right.
And I'm very detail oriented. I'm obsessed with detail and laying it out. It takes time. And then I always get, let's say, little emergencies every day that I have to do that stuff. But I get it done. I don't cry because it's just like weightlifting. It's like, oh, geez, you know, I didn't get 230-kilogram squat this week. You keep going at it. It just, I work 6 and 7 days a week out of pure joy. You know why? Because I got two Italian immigrant grandparents that came to America.
Yep.
Right? Guess where their grandson is?
Right.
I'm controller, the chief financial officer of my company with two master's degrees. I got my grandmother's picture with me on my desk in my graduation robe at Boston University. And she's so proud of me because people doubted her when she came to America.
Yep.
Now she's got a grandson who's in a senior management position and doing all these wonderful things around the world, meeting the most elite athletes with the biggest hearts, the biggest positive-minded people. I get a great family with all of you. And that's the thing. We don't relent. We don't surrender.
Nope.
And yes, we got to get rid of all the poison in this world.
Well,
who we really are.
And the whole thing is that's what we are spreading. That's what we are living. And that's why I love the people on this show, because everybody is so authentic. Everybody is doing everything they're talking about, and they're lending their craft and their real world experiences to people that would never find this. I don't care what you do, this stuff that we're doing here is so unique and so different from everybody else. And this just came about because I have people asking me all the time, how did you ever connect all these people together and be so successful with it? I said, whether it was innate intelligence guiding me, whether it was a stroke of luck, whether it was people coming to me with people, whether it was me being aggressively chasing people down, I can't give you a formula for the whole thing because I don't really know myself. I will tell you this, though. Nothing is ever going to replace my will and my desire to make this. And if anything was going to happen the way it's happened, it's been because I've put my foot to the floor for over 2 years just in the show, 3 years total. And people think, I always talk in simplistic terms because I think the rest of this stuff is all BS. It's just money. It's to confuse you to buy more things, et cetera, et cetera. I'd rather have you buy one good product from me that would last you for 10 years than buy 15 that you pissed your money down a rat hole with, all right? That's just the way I think, because I think about a guy that, you know, wants to get the best for what he pays for, wants to have people that produce good things that are going to help, and if I can talk to them, that's even that much better. And it gives me the ability and the self-confidence, which is a word that a lot of people do not have nor practice, to go out in 30 below weather when it's freezing. And I've talked about bars freezing to my throat. I've had stones freeze to my chest. Does that make me a hero? No. But I'm not afraid to do those things to get where I got to go, to be out in snowstorms carrying rocks when you can barely see in front of you and the snow's up to the middle of your shins and you're not afraid. In fact, you're relishing it because you know damn well that's going right to the core of who you are, and success is going to follow. It might not be here today, and this is where people fall down. Things are happening to me every day here with the show, with the training, with everything. I might not see them right now, but they are happening. And when you believe in those things like that, you will become the best you can be. But if you want someone to tell you every day how great you are, or you want to see a result every day, I'm here to tell you right now, anybody that tells you that or sells you something like that, turn your ass around and run. Go ahead, Jeff. Go ahead.
I do that all the time. And you know what it is? You hit something. I so interrupted you. I wanted to interrupt you, but I respect it. Didn't. The reason why this show is so popular. The reason why we all come together from all over the world is, you know what? How many gosh darn people that want to train with you through the decades?
Yep.
You know what we are, Eric? The bottom line is, whether we're in Norway, Scotland, Iceland, U.S., Russia, whatever, right? Canada.
Yep. Yep.
We are non-quitters.
Yeah.
We are the fraternity of non-quitters. And
yep.
we want more because we know we were created for more.
Yeah. Jeff, I believe
in a non-materialistic way. We have one life. Like you said, we only have so much time here.
Yep.
But we want the most of, we appreciate our life so much. We want to grab onto it. I want to cling on to these, to my family, to the people I see in New Jersey, Connecticut, New York,
yep.
Idaho Falls, Florida, Ontario. It's amazing. And Donnie Fiorgidino,
yep.
right?
Yep.
I want to say something about him. Let's use him as an example. He invents this thing called the AirX Club.
Yep.
And then the Mace. Do you know how many lives he's affected? Do you know how many lives that you affect, Eric?
Yeah.
By all these people you have on?
Without
Donnie Giafedino, I would have never been in a Mace competition. I would have never got surveyed. I would have never met Valerie, my new coach,
who yep.
lost high energy. You know? I mean, she's making me better. I got goals. For 2017, where I want to compete in the 24 kg belt at
yep.
nationals, who the hell would have thought I could do that? And yeah, a lot of other people do it. You know what? I'm coming from the powerlifting world where I tore my shoulder apart. You know what? Through kettlebells and through Donnie's Annex Club and
yep.
and all these other products, my shoulders are rehabilitated. And I want to say something about Rick Brown. I love Rick Brown, and I disappointed this man. So on the air, Rick, I love you. I'm sorry I can't come to California. I signed up for his event on November 5th.
Yep.
I spent so much money and took so much vacation time this year to go all these events. I'm limited. I have a job here. But I do want, Rick Brown, please, I do want to train from you personally. Like I get trained personally from Donnie on the Mace in the club. And Valerie, when she trained me, personally, one-on-one, face-to-face, I want to get trained face-to-face with Rick Brown. Please, Rick, don't lose faith in me. I wish I was a Rockefeller so I could go to
right.
Powell's meet the kettlebell meet and Mace
yep.
every week. I would.
Hey, there's so many things, you know, that's what happens when
and
you get it.
I've learned so much from you, Eric. I've been staying up place for like 3 months.
Well,
and
yeah.
In the middle of winter, we could just put our boots on so we wouldn't slide all over the place. With spikes in the bottom of our boots so we wouldn't slip on the ice and lift the fuck out of these stones.
Well, that's the thing. And, what ends up happening with this? You know, I talk about starting out. You know, you start with my cousin gave me his used weight, his sand, you know, their sand with the plastic. My uncle Will was an expert carpenter, teacher. Wooden bench that would hold anything because my dad, we had burned him so many times with stuff. He was like, I'm not buying you a weight set. And we were like, oh man, how are we gonna get it? Well, I don't know how it ended up happening, but he talked to my Aunt Gloria. We drove over to Boston, got the stuff, came back home, and that's where it all started. And I've said this before, I played a lot of organized sports. I was a good athlete. But when my hands touched that bar for the first time, there was something very magical that went off in me. And most people that have done this understand it. And I knew, for as much as I like to be involved in team sports, I was a guy that wanted to like be on his own heels all the time, where I would have to take the shot no matter what happened and no excuses. That's where that all formulated from. And as we got on, obviously, we built a place down in the cellar, and we trained yep. with other people, and we went here, and we went there. Then I leave for a few years in California, come home, nothing. Go back to the old big-time gym, change his hands a number of times. They kick our ass out of there with a police escort.
Love that story, yeah.
And come back home. And build the one-car garage that started with a York power rack, No platform, not even lagged in, and 1,000 pounds of weight, no heat, and here we go. And if you looked at the place now, it would blow your friggin' eyeballs out, because you would not believe what's in that little one-car garage and what's outside in that 90 feet, especially the first third of the driveway out the garage door. And as we keep going,
I spent tens of thousands of dollars, and my wife could probably kill me, but she knows she's got a 51-year-old husband that, let's put it this way, I don't need those little blue pills.
Yep, it's called Viagra.
Blood circulation and testosterone production.
Yep.
And Dr. Wong can attest to that. And inside my desk, let me shake it for you here, I got a little bit of magnesium and zinc.
Yep. His stuff is the best. I've known Dr. Wong probably for 20 years, and he hasn't changed a bit. And I mean, I never did a podcast for him prior to about a year ago, year and a half ago. But when I say to people, if you call and leave a message, he will get back to you. And everybody that's reached out to him, he has not changed a bit, and he's blunt, honest with you. And I've had people that have said, well, I don't really like how he talks and this and that. And I said, look, I know he can get really wild at times, and he gets me wild, and I light him up a lot of times. It doesn't take much. And I don't really think he's that disparaging with anything. He's a very truthful man. He's been around. He's in his 60s now. He's seen an awful lot of things that I'll probably never see. And he comes from the old school, which I admire. That's why he's here, and I think he's one of the greatest people I've ever met on and off the air. And I've had people comment, and I say to them respectively, this is your opinion about a group or whatever, and I'll respect your opinion. I might not agree with you, and it's the same way with how you would say something about Dr. Wong. Unless you're really hammering on somebody with things I don't want to hear, I'm going to cut you off. But the one thing that's unique about my show is I'm not sending you 10 questions prior to it. A lot of times with the guys that I've been on with a lot, we don't even have a subject till they walk in. Why do we do it that way? Because it makes for fresh radio. And when you're good, and I'm going to say I'm good, when you're good, you can improvise. That is the call of a winner. A winner can do all those things. A winner doesn't need somebody to tell them. A winner doesn't need somebody to grab them by the nose and lead them. And a winner sure as hell is not not going to fall for all these weak trends and all this bullshit. So I kindly told these people this. You always have the ability not to listen to the show. We don't want to lose you. We want you to stay in the family, but I'm also not going to let you say disparaging things about anybody on the show either. The person is still with us. I'm glad. I'm very happy for that. But the thing is, there's a lot of things in life we don't like, and you've got a choice. You turn the knob on or you turn it off, and that's the end of it. So I believe in freedom. I don't believe in going out and hurting somebody with any intention like that. Nothing. We don't practice that stuff here. But we are men here. We get heated. I have women on here the same way. We get very heated up. We're very passionate. Maybe some things slip out that shouldn't have. But you know what? Everybody here is a human being, and I understand that. And I'm not censoring anybody because of a minute group that want it their way. It's not going to happen here. That's how we do things.
What Dr. Wong, Eric?
Yeah.
The other day when you guys are talking about surrender.
Yeah.
Right? He says, I won't get into the political aspect of it because I respect you for always saying that. But he said, and you know what I'm talking about. He says, they can't make that choice.
Nope.
God made that choice with the X and Y chromosomes.
Yep.
And you know what Dr. Wong said, which I loved?
Yep.
Under his breath, he said, that's a bunch of fucking shit.
Yeah.
He's a medical doctor. He said it. He says, he's talking about all these other groups. He says, listen, I'm Chinese and Cuban.
Yep.
You know, this and that. You know what? It doesn't matter what labels we are. Again, I get back to it. We all share the same heart. We're not quitters. We're true men. I get a guy in Idaho Falls, in Twin Falls, Idaho. He's Serbian, right? He's got all these tattoos all over him.
Yep.
And anyways, he's true to his. This is my closest brother.
Yep.
Dario, you can see him on Facebook. I won't get into what the tattoos are.
Yep.
But he holds his opinions true. He's a real man, a real father, and he likes the rules. He wants the judges to do the right thing and et cetera, et cetera. Anyways, but I love Dr. Wong
because
of his honesty and also because of his background, and he knows a bunch of bull crap. He's been around the block a few times.
Oh, yeah.
Another thing I'll say, Eric,
yeah.
is one thing my boss taught me. He said, one thing his father taught him was, he says, I'll always know more than you. And
yep.
my boss says, yeah, why is that? He says, because I'm 30 years older than you. I have 30 more years of life experience than you.
Yep.
So, yeah. So let's shut up about, you know, the honesty and everything else about Dr. Wong and everything else and about that, you know, the lady who sized you up. Oh, you must be an athlete.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I looked at stones in Iceland and this and that. And,
yep.
I thought so.
Yeah, well, you know,
I deal with this all the time too, but you can't fucking do my job. Sorry about the swearing, but you know what? I do more work here than the pussies sitting in the big accounting offices or the goddamn lawyers in their office who leave at 5 o'clock at night.
Yeah, yeah.
Go to the fucking bar room and drink beer.
Yep.
Where they got to be friends.
Yep.
And talk about everybody. They sit on the couch drinking a Budweiser and watching a football game. And telling everybody how much that guy sucks
during
a hockey game or the baseball game. Well, where the fuck are they?
Yep.
With the little peckwood that can't get a goddamn heart on. That's why the girlfriends are out with us.
Well, here's the biggest thing, Jeff. The weightlifter, male or female, the ones that really understand it, they really are, they can be a lone wolf breed. They associate with the ones that they gravitate to, and that's how life is. And what I found, especially with this great thing that we do here, you know, with weightlifting, physical culture, all that stuff, you can put it in any genre you want. We have built a certain style of mentality, of doing, of working, of hardship, of becoming better, conquering, commitment, action, all those things you hear people say, but very few practice them. You know, I'll tell you what. I could care less if I've ever watch a football game, a basketball game. I don't watch them. I don't dig the. I don't like the people, the way they act. It goes on both ends of both sides of it. I don't like some of the policies I'm seeing all over. So I have chosen not to be part of it. If people want to, they can be. That's up to you. But you know, I think more than ever right now, we're living right now, I think, in the best and worst of times. We have the technology to do a lot of things. When it works, it's fantastic. When it doesn't, it's terrible. But we have so many out there, and this is the way the world works, because we know a lot of people that are involved in the workings of these things is this. Tell everyone they're basically worthless. Tell them we're the only ones that can help them. If the littlest thing happens, sue them. If you don't agree with somebody, destroy them if you can through any means. All these things that I have no ambition or to be part of. And the thing you see is when it's done back to these people, the first thing they do is cry or call you some name or some phobia or whatever. This is weakness at the core. This is stuff that I don't want to be around. I don't want my family to be around. I protect them like the big lion or the King Kong standing right on top of the Empire State Building, because there's too many people out there that like to take advantage, that like to tell you you're nothing. And I've said this on the show, and I'll say it to the day we sign off. Everybody, I want everybody to open their ears. You all have potential. You all have ability, and you all have greatness. When you understand that, there isn't going to be anybody that will ever trample on you. And if they do, and you feel it for that split second, you'll come back even harder. And why? I say this the same way with I can't go back to the old job or anything. what ends up happening to you, there's a thread that goes through your body that I think is in everybody. Maybe it takes longer for some to find it, but once that thread is let loose, there is a mechanism in you that will not allow you to buy into it, to go back to it, or relive it anymore. And if
we're not puppets on a string, Eric. We're not puppets on a string.
That's right.
Well, Frank DeMeo, you know who he is?
Sure, he's on the show.
That's what Frank preaches to young people.
Yep.
His podcast and everything.
Yep.
Everything you're saying about your nieces and nephews and everything else, that's what he does down in Florida there. So
yeah.
I want to throw something out for Frank.
Yep.
Frank deserves a lot of credit.
Yeah, Frank has been one of the greatest people to me on this show. He's introduced me to people. He's been on here. You know, I am very blessed. I know that. I've had so many good people here. Most of them are still on. Most that come on for the first time want to come on as regulars. It's right now. It's like, where do you find the time and all the space for everybody? And it's a good thing to have. But I think the majority of people that have come on here and that will still keep coming on get the impact of what we're doing here. They might not know all the stuff that's going on with me in the background, and they don't need to be part of that unless I want them to be. That's the way it works. But we are delivering a product, a service, a solution out there like nobody else. And the people here really give a damn. That's what's amazing, because in the world today, there aren't many people that really give a damn about you. And I don't want to be a gloom and doom guy, but we also have a responsibility to being honest with people.
And that, to teach the young people about weightlifting, or old people, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Well, here's the best thing of all. We were talking about surrounding yourself with winners yesterday, with people that are better than you. If you want to win, if you want to learn, if you want to succeed, don't go with the low ballers. Don't go with the ones that are just basically bottom feeders. What you need
as Ayn Rand of Atlas Shrugged says.
Yeah, yeah.
I love Ayn Rand of Atlas Shrugged.
Well, you know, the whole thing is this.
I've read a book dozens of times. Like Rick Brown was saying, he reads a book about 100 times.
Yep.
I've read Atlas Shrugged at least a dozen times.
Absolutely. Hey, look. Anything you listen to, anything you read over and over, I defy you to tell me you didn't learn something new from it, because we always miss something, skim over something, all that. You go out and listen to this show, and you listen to it five times, I guarantee you every five times you're going to learn something new or say, damn, that makes sense to me now. I didn't understand it the time before. You can look, when I talk about my college professor, Frank Klein, who was by far the best college teacher I ever had for business. He was a regular guy, a football coach. We connected right off the bat because of what he could see when I walked through the door as a weightlifter. The guy was he used to drive me insane. He would just keep saying, he was the one that got me into Zig Ziglar, and he got me into Think and Grow Rich. He was a master of words. And he was just
Tony Robbins is good too.
All of it. You know, a big lumbering guy, you know, you would think, who the hell is this? And he would say over and over, repetition, repetition, repetition. It would get to days where I just wanted to stand up and say, will you shut up? But you know what? Today, many years later, Frank Klein was another big influence among many things, but those three words, buy into repetition. I'm telling you, the more you repeat, the more you will do. Jeff, why don't you add anything, a summary to everything, because we got to get off the air in a few minutes. If you would, please give out any information, anything you got coming up, any meets. Let me give my stuff out and hang on the line, please, and we'll set you up for another show.
Sure. Right now, Valerie Pawlowski, she's training me to move up to get my rank 2 in kettlebell sport with a 20 kg snatch, 10-minute snatch. Donnie and Valerie and Rick Brown and Jessica Hattig. Jessica's over at Worlds 2 in Kazakhstan with Valerie. They're helping me with training with the mace, and Chris Gilbert is 2. And so we're going to do that in December in New Jersey, and Mikey's going to be in that. I'm going to try to move up to 10 kg kettlebell snatch. And me see, powerlifting, I'm going to try to get 230 kilograms at 52 years old.
Nice.
Next year in Idaho Falls again. Before Eric, that was a warm-up set.
Yep.
You know, 507 pounds was a warm-up set. I can do multiple reps at 51 and just eating food and, you know, taking regular supplements. You know, you get to just change your way, as Mr. Caputo said. But we stay in the sport.
Yep.
And we teach and we motivate and we try to set the example at work. Like when I do a job at work, well, I want to say one thing. What we should try to do with everybody every day, and that's in our brotherhood, in our sisterhood here, is that we should wow people.
Yeah.
When I was a tax manager at PricewaterhouseCoopers, we had a management conference in the Niagara region of Ontario, and the head of taxation for all of Canada was actually a tax partner located in Detroit, Michigan. And in front of 300 managers, he said, "Have you wowed your boss today? Have you wowed your wife today or your spouse? Have you wowed your children today?" And he says, "You know, I'm getting a lot of puzzled looks."
Yeah.
He says, "What it means to wow people is I'll give an example. The senior manager who works directly for him in Detroit, Michigan, when he's assigned a project in taxation for the automotive industry in Detroit, this gentleman not only does what his boss asked him to do, he goes above and beyond what the boss asked him to do. We should do that with our families. We should do that with people of all levels at the gym. We
yep.
should introduce them to the different aspects of the different exercises." And what I love what Rick Brown says is teach him the true essence, the true purpose of that tool. When you have a mace hammer, you don't do curl, blah, blah, blah. You
yep.
swing the mace, whether it's a 360, a 10x2, or whatever. Same thing with the steel gloves. A deadlift is a deadlift. Don't do arm bicep curls in the squat rack.
Right.
And I've always believed that. Just stick to what you do. You don't have to juggle kettlebells. Lift kettlebells the way they're supposed to be lifted.
Yep.
And you'll go find, you'll meet unbelievable people. You'll have the best life that you couldn't even produce a movie about. We're all living diamond level lives from very humble, maybe distressed or oppressed beginnings. But that's what made us, because we always, like you say, Eric, we've always had it in
yep.
our DNA.
Yep.
As you said on a show one day, you said there's people at elite levels in sports, again, not snobby levels,
yep.
right?
Yep.
Pompous levels. We don't need to be fucking pompous yuppies.
Yep.
Right? At elite levels that their parents never lifted a weight or lifted a stone or this and that. Eric, I guarantee you, when you go to bed every night, you probably dream of Iceland. You probably dream of going to Scotland.
Exactly.
I mean, you're so hungry for that, it probably keeps you up.
Yep. Well, not only that, like I said, I listen to something 15 minutes in the morning when I wake up. Lately, it's been Dennis Waitley, 15 minutes before I go to bed. I can still see vision-wise. I can do it talking to you. I see me picking up the Husafell stone, walking the 50 meters around the pen, et cetera, et cetera. Yes, all these things. Rehearsal.
You're not a quitter. Did you quit because of your bicep injury?
Am I what?
Did you quit because of your bicep injury?
Never.
Never?
I don't have it in me. I don't have it in me. It'll never stop. You know, like I said, the only thing that'll stop me is an act of God killing me. That's it. You know, look, at the bottom line is this. Life is not as complicated as they make it. I think life is very simplistic. Life is going to always have potholes and things that are going to knock you back and this and that and the other thing. But to be able to do things every day, to be able to put your feet on the floor and be able to brush your teeth and little things like that that we all take for granted. If that gets taken from you or worse, I guess then you're going to realize what's happening, and I don't want to ever see anybody do that. But I'm not a fool here. I've been around what it's like to have someone that can't do things for themselves, but yet always is smiling, yet you went everywhere with us. The only thing that defined Jimmy other than the rest of us, he was in a wheelchair. I watched my brother disintegrate, but I also had such loving parents that wouldn't give him up.
That's right.
That took him and made him the star he was, because there was never anything wrong with him mentally. And I, you know, as everybody knows, the company is dedicated to him and his honor, because I can't think of anyone other than him that I would ever want to emulate. Yeah, there's people I admire that I can draw things from them, but I watched a little boy who could walk, stumble, fall, and wheelchair bound, and eventually die of pneumonia go that way.
Yeah, let me tell you something. When you lift those heavy stones, especially when you're walking around that pen on a farm in Iceland,
yep,
you know that you have the same blood in your veins as Jimmy.
Yep.
And so when you look at those veins in your arms before you pick up that stone and after you finish completing that lift, that stone, look down at your veins again. Jimmy did that with you.
Absolutely. I always say to people, you'll hear it too. You'll hear my scream in Canada. That's how loud it'll be.
Right.
It'll go everywhere. Jeff, anything else you got, boss?
That's it. I kind of like you to, you know, have Valerie on the show someday, Valerie Pawlowski.
Well, we'll make that. We can make that happen.
Outstanding person and wonderful motivator. Biggest heart you'll ever see.
Okay.
That's wonderful clientele she has. And okay. She's doing, she see, the thing about Valerie is she shares, because she doesn't have to get involved with instructing mace and club bell certification courses, or teaching that, or you know, because she's got her own sport, her own life, but she shares all of her success.
Yep.
And like so many of your other guests.
Yep.
And that's what we all need. I want to bring all of us together, because Eric, at the end of the day, this really is heaven on earth. And when I got a ton of work in front of me, I'm just looking at it. I got two desks here. I'm going to get it done.
Yeah, you will.
Because I'm going to be in New Jersey in a few weeks.
Yep.
In December. And Yuri's the president of the American Cattlemen's Alliance. Yuri's going to be giving me, I'm going to do like Joe Namath. I'm going to guarantee it. I'm going to guarantee that Yuri gives me a rank 2 certificate in kettlebell sport for enduring at least 144 reps on a 10-minute snatch with 20 kg kettlebell. And that's because of all of us, whether it's my grandparents, Valerie, my son, my beautiful wife, my parents, all of my brothers. And I want to say thank you to Joe Wankus.
Okay.
In Massachusetts, he was the power lifter that influenced me that way back in 1989. Thank you, Eric. I could talk all day to you. I know you've got other things to do. I got a big job to do here too, and it's taking a lot of time, but I want to be on the show again. I want to meet you in person. I want you to train me personally, one-on-one, face-to-face.
We can do that.
Lifting, maybe I'll try to bring it up to Canada. And like I was telling you before, one final thing is, you made me spend a lot of money this weekend, my friend.
That's all right. It's going to benefit you.
I bought a 40-pound sandbag and a 50-pound sandbag.
That's
while I was in Halifax at a kettlebell meet, which is about 5 hours away from St. John, New Brunswick, where I live. And so that's because of various guests that you've had. And I'm going to take that 50-pound sandbag and walk it around the gym. I cradle it in my arms.
Yep.
I'm going to do some cleans. Cleaning overhead jerks with it and all kinds of stuff.
It's good stuff, you know, Jeff.
I'm an unconventional strength athlete.
That's good, and we welcome you to the family.
Thank you, Eric.
Well, just hang on. I will sign off in one moment, and you're welcome, sir. This is Motivation Muscle, streaming radio 24/7. go out to motivationandmuscle.com. Check out all of our products out there. They're all free to download right now. motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. Go out and look at our wealth of knowledge. We've got more now. We've got Jeff on board with us. It just grows and grows and grows, and I thank everybody for that. motivationmuscle.com. Go out to iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a 5-star review. That's what everybody's giving us, and we thank you for that. We're on a ton of directories now with the streaming show. We're out on Google Play Music, to name a few, TuneIn, Shoutcast, and Aha Radio. If there's something or you'd like Jeff and I to do a show, you can contact me at FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.R.com. And I'll leave you with these 5 things. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give them words of inspiration. 5 words can change your life. As my mom said when we were kids, and she still says it, don't be afraid to give somebody a smile or an hello. It might be all they get that day. If you're going to lift today, bend it, break it, squat it, press it, pull it. If you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. And it's a great Hoosteseal Crusher says in blood red, domination. We are domination. We clear cut the path. We don't follow anyone's. And as I say in everything I write, dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. I live by those 3 words because I'm telling you, there are days here when you think you're going to be on your knees forever. Well, you know what? You don't die on your knees, you die standing. And you can listen to Dr. Wong when he'll say that to you. That is the God's honest truth. Be a man, have some pride. Don't take shit from anybody. Also, no one will ever clip our balls. And as Russell Fur says, who's listened to Eminem from the beginning and who's a regular guest on the show, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. That was one of the kindest compliments I've ever gotten. Russell will say that for the next 28 years because we've been on the air now 2 years. And I'll leave you with a few things before we sign off with Jeff. As Frank Klein said, repetition, repetition, repetition. As my dad said, be a leader, not a follower. Be a leader, not a follower. And as one of the greatest men I've ever met besides the other two, John Ridge, my chiropractor, we lost to cancer 2 years ago. He walked everybody to the door and said 2 words, keep smiling. I dare you to say that to yourself and not get a smile on your face. I guarantee you it can change your life. Saying those 2 words. Be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. And tell 100 of your friends, because we're not going to knock on your door. We're going to kick the fucking thing right in. Join our family. Be part of a revolution. And remember this too. Go out and get the book, Becoming a Barbarian, by Jack Donovan. We are in the process of trying to see if we can get him on the show. But Dr. Wong and I are going to start talking about this book among many others, and there is going to be an opportunity next year where there are going to be some people, whether they've been on the show or not, that have read this book. We will do a 3-way phone call, and we will have you on, and we are going to discuss this because next year, men and the women here and whoever wants to participate, we are going to create a whole new revolution out there, and we want everybody to come aboard. Jeff, thanks for being on, sir.
Thank you so much, Eric.
You are welcome. So, for Jeff Zambello, this is Eric Fiorello. We will have Jeff on again. All I can say, I said this in the show, you all have greatness. It's time to go out and do it. You know, people don't want to prove anything nowadays. I dare you to. Everybody, have a great week, and we will talk to you soon, and thanks for listening.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.